Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to Romans. Let's rendezvous in Romans 5, verse 8. We'll look at verses 8 through 11 in a few moments. And as we come to that passage, let me ask you a pertinent question. Are you prone to forgetting important things? I think we're all in that category. We've all forgotten important things. It reminds me of this fun story that I heard about this senior adult fella. He moved over to an assisted living, and he just loved it. There were so many kind people there, and he was meeting a lot of new friends, and he particularly saw this attractive lady, and they got to be friends, and they started spending a lot of time together, and a few months went by, and he decided one night to propose marriage. So he asked her, "Will you marry me?" Well, that night he went to bed, and he woke up the next morning, and he could not remember her answer. He couldn't remember if she said yes or no, so he scurried over to her room, and he said, "Oh," after he knocked on the door, "I am so embarrassed. I proposed last night that you marry me, but I can't remember if you said yes or no." She said, "Thank goodness you came back. I said yes, but I couldn't remember who asked me." I think we've all been in that category. Now, I want us to come to Romans chapter 5, because here is what we need to remember. We want to create a sharp focus on Romans chapter 5, because this is the heart of the gospel. This is what brings us here today. Paul gives these sweeping summary statements, and listen to them. Romans 5, verse 8, "God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the message of the cross. It's a message of love. You're a person of worth and value. You are important to God. He goes on to say, "Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." In other words, God is holy, perfect, and pure, and He must punish sin. So the wrath or the punishment of God is coming. Verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation." We're connected to the Lord through the bridge of the cross, through His unfailing love. That's what we can't forget. That's what we must remember. So what's our game plan for today? Remember, rejoice, and recommit. Recommit to God's purpose and calling for us to take up our own cross, to bring, before we do the Lord's Supper, to bring these truths into sharp focus. I'm going to tell you a story about remembering. I want you to go with me, travel back about 45 years to 1973, and let's walk on the beach at sunset with an elderly gentleman. Every Friday, he does the same thing. He takes a bucket of shrimp, and the shrimp is not for himself, it's not for fishing, it's for the seagulls. And he walks out at sunset to this lonely spot on the beach, to an old pier. And I want you to see this moment. The waves are slapping against the sand. The smell of salt air stings our nose. Because it's sunset, there are only a few strollers left on the beach, so he's virtually all alone. This gentleman goes to the pier, and he looks up into the sky. And in a few moments, the sky starts to dance with dots. And those dots are seagulls. It's as if they know he has arrived and they are making a pilgrimage to meet with him on that Friday afternoon. Well, they start to land on the pier, they land all around him, and he begins to feed them shrimp. And he feeds them for about 30 minutes until all of the shrimp is gone. And then those feathered friends don't immediately fly off. They just linger on the pier. He strokes some of them. And as the sun disappears, he goes back. You see, he is prompted to do this every Friday because of gratitude. One of those seagull's relatives saved this man's life years ago. This man's name is Eddie Rickenbacker. Oh, maybe you know his story. He was a famous pilot during World War I and then World War II. But let's travel back a little further. Let's go back to October of 1942. Eddie Rickenbacker and a crew of seven others were with a pilot in a B-17. The pilot was Captain Cherry. They had been given the mission of going to rendezvous in New Guinea with General Douglas MacArthur because the heat of the war was rising. As they were flying, somehow they lost radio contact. The weather was terrible. They got lost. Their fuel went low. They had to ditch the plane into the vast Pacific Ocean. They were able to all get out. They got into two life rafts that were 9 feet by 4 feet. They began the battle. And the battle was, number one, against the weather. It was scorching hot. Number two, it was against the sharks. They were in 9 feet rafts, and 10 feet long sharks kept bumping into the rafts and ramming into them. They were terrified of the sharks. But their biggest problem was starvation. After 8 days, they had totally run out of rations. And their backs were against the wall. They needed a miracle because no rescuing agent was in sight. They did not even know where they were. So let me tell you what Eddie Rickenbacker wrote in his own diary. He said, Pilot Cherry read the service that afternoon. We finished with prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off because of the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep some of the glare out, I dozed off. Suddenly something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, but I just knew, and everyone else knew. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat's brim, without moving my head, I could see the expression on every face. They were staring at that gull because that gull meant food if I could catch it. So with the quickness of an SEC receiver, he snatched that bird. And they ate it. They turned its intestines into fish bait. They caught lots of fish. And they survived 22 more days because of that sacrificial visitor. And then they were rescued on the 30th day. As a matter of fact, here is the newspaper headline from the Chicago Daily News that Rickenbacker has been saved and only one companion lost. My friends, I tell you this true story because the PS is remarkable. Eddie Rickenbacker never forgot. He was always grateful. So that's why he would go to the pier on Friday afternoon to say thank you, to express his gratitude to those seagulls for their relative who was the sacrificial visitor who saved his life. I would suggest to you that we are needing to be a lot like Eddie Rickenbacker because, friends, God sent a sacrificial visitor our way, and he came on a rescue mission to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Like manna from the wilderness, Jesus came. He came as the sacrificial servant of God to rescue perishing people. So that's what we've come here to remember today, my friends. There's no greater force on the planet than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ as demonstrated through the cross. So we remember, we rejoice, and it's time to recommit ourselves. You see, God has demonstrated that great love for you, and that while you were yet a sinner, turning your back on God in rebellion against His way and His will, Jesus died for you. Jesus knew that we are forgetful. So in His last meeting with His disciples, He transformed the elements of the Passover meal, the bread and the cup, into a memory device so that we wouldn't forget. Therefore, in just a moment, we will take the bread and the cup. But here's my great prayer. Don't just take the bread and the cup. Let the bread and the cup take you. Have an experience today. As you take that bread, understand what it really means. As you take the cup, I want for you to assign Jesus' new meaning to it. And you will be transported into the presence of God as you remember, rejoice, and recommit. Troy, John, would you uncover this table? And on behalf of the Lord, let me have you know that this is not First Baptist table. This is the Lord's table. And we invite anyone to participate who is called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have closed communion. We have open communion. Well, let me shift the scene again. Let's move from Florida to the South Pacific in 1942 to 33 AD. Let's travel all the way to Jerusalem. It was 33 AD in the spring that Jesus was completing His ministry. It was a busy time in Jerusalem. Pilgrims had come from all over. They had purchased their Passover lamb, and they were going to reenact what Moses had prescribed. You see, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and Moses said that the death angel of God was coming to bring the fearsome wrath of God on the Egyptian people. But so the death angel would not hurt the people of God, they were given an instruction. Do you remember what it was? To take a lamb, a male lamb, 1 year old, without spot or blemish, and then take the lamb's blood and smear it over the doorpost of their house so that when the death angel comes, he would pass over that house. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that covers our life. And so God's wrath passes over His children. You see, John the Baptist understood that. He understood that Jesus was the Passover lamb. In John 1, do you remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus? What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. So now the Lamb of God has gathered His disciples for one last time, and He is identifying Himself as the Passover lamb. He gathered the disciples, and He explained to them that the bread from this day forward and the cup would have a new meaning. And here is what I would suggest. It's now the bread of blessing and the cup of commitment. Let's prepare our hearts to take both. Let's prepare through prayer. Oh, Father, we come before You right now, and we give You permission to turn on the searchlight of Your Holy Spirit in every heart. Father, if you find sin, a mispriority, a hurtful habit, if you find anything that does not look like You, we beg You, pull it away like a noxious weed. Take it out like rancid garbage. Father, we want to be pure before You. Prepare our hearts and our hands to receive these pictures of Your sacrifice in the bread and the cup. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And they took the bread.
Oh, let the Son of God invite. lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name.
So much, Thomas and Judge Prine. You're holding a little wafer of bread, and it's unleavened bread because it's likened to the Passover bread, which was designed to be made in a hurry, and it didn't have yeast in it, so it didn't rise. It's flat bread, like a tortilla. And yet Jesus gave it a new meaning. He said to the disciples as they gathered in the upper room, He said, from now on, this bread should remind you, you forgetful people, of my body and what I'm going to do for you on that cross. You see, my body will be beaten. It will be bloodied. It will be bruised and brutalized because I love you. So this is the bread of blessing. My friends, I would suggest to you that you've received no greater gift, no greater blessing than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated to you on the cross as He gave Himself for you. So with that in view, we now take the bread of blessing. Then Jesus took the Passover cup. It was a common cup, and He explained to the disciples that it would have a new meaning. It was no longer just the Passover cup. It was the new covenant that would be instituted when His blood was shed at the cross. Because the Bible says there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. That's why Jesus came as the sacrificial Passover lamb. He would sacrifice Himself to take our sin punishment on the cross. That's the meaning of the cross. He did it all for you because He loves us beyond what we can imagine. So I want you to think of it like this. This cup, imagine it's filled with ink. And the new covenant is a contract. And so this is the ink that you will use to sign off on the contract. And I'll explain the rest of that meaning in just a moment as you take the cup.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry. Terry doesn't really play music. It just flows from his fingers. That's our theme song, The Amazing Grace of God. And here's what I want you to understand. As you take this cup, Jesus said this cup is the new covenant. Of course, there's the old covenant. That's the Old Testament. There's the new covenant. That's Jesus' new deal, his new agreement. We'll no longer be justified by the blood of animals, by sacrificial goats or lambs or cows or doves, but instead by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. If you look on that stained glass window, you see that lamb on the top of the book is a picture of the purpose of Jesus. And he did his part, didn't he? He went all the way to the cross and he gave himself. Now, when you make an agreement, it takes two people to agree. It takes two parties to create a covenant agreement. What's your part? Jesus did his part. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we could be made the righteousness of God. He did his part. Now, what's your part? Your part is represented in this cup of commitment. Imagine that you're signing a contract, and this is ink, and you're about to dip the stylus of your will down into the ink of commitment and sign on the dotted line a promissory note that says, God, I'll serve you. I realize you gave your highest, your most, your best for me. God, count on me. I will serve you. Jesus said it like this in Luke 9, verse 23. If you're going to follow him, what are you supposed to do? Take up your cross every day as you deny yourself and follow. That is the calling of God. That is your part of the contract. That is your sacred covenant and commitment. And if you choose to do that, then take with me the cup. In just a moment, Josh will lead us in a hymn of inviting. I hope you clearly understand what Jesus has done for you. He was the sacrificial visitor. He's your rescuer. But he will not rescue you if you refuse him. Can you imagine Eddie Rickenbacker and the whole team in those rafts? And here comes an American rescue vessel, and they refuse to get in? Can you imagine that? After spending 30 days in the ocean, languishing, dying, and the rescuers show up, and what if they say, no thanks, we're enjoying the cruise? What an absurd refusal. That's what Jesus has come to do. He's come to rescue you. But he has given you the dangerous ability to decide, and you can receive or reject his offer to rescue. So younger person, older person, in your heart of hearts, if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, don't say no, say yes. Realize what he's done for you, and because he's given everything to you, you give yourself back to him in unfettered commitment and resolve. You stand for the Lord Jesus and start your journey today. Walk down one of these aisles, and by your coming, you're saying it all. You're saying, I'm following Jesus. I am unashamed of him. He gave himself for me. I will give myself for him. You come today and start that journey. When we follow the Lord Jesus, we agree to serve. This church gives you marvelous opportunities to serve Christ. So I invite you to come today and join this church. Don't delay. Don't put it off. We've got a place for you in this family, so you come. But here's your bottom line. Every day, remember. Remember what he did for you. Live your life in remembrance of him. And then rejoice. Rejoice simply means you praise him as you go. Let praise be the playlist of your life. And then recommit. Be totally committed to God's purpose to lift up his love and light in this broken world. Would you stand with me? Would you sing if you need to? Won't you come and meet me here at the foot of his cross? Please come now.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church, Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.